I got a question for you. I want to start out with a question, and I realize there's going to be a lot of different answers to this question. What has God given to you? What has God given to you? What are, and there's a number of ways we'll look at this. They could be gifts. They can be talents. They can be abilities. His promises. I want you to think for a moment about things that he has given to you. They can be friendships, relationships. For me, this is where I go, and anybody that knows me with any, you know, length of time, it doesn't take very long. You know where I'm going, Francis? God gave me Diana. First prayer after I got born again, God put me back together with her. And he did. What has he given you? And he's given me other things. I mean, we've had 14 vehicles given to us over the years. He's given me purpose, gave me a calling. What's he given you? Think about it. Anybody want to say what he's given you? Because everybody in here, he has given something to you. Come on now, don't all get quiet on me all at once. Yes.
He's given me peace.
He's given you peace. Amen. Amen. Who else? He's given you an awesome life. Amen. And I've got to hear part of your story, and yes, he has. Amen. Who else? What has he given you? Eternal life. Someone over here.
Faith and freedom.
Faith and freedom. Amen. Who else? Joy. Not know where that, Ernie. I didn't know that. Three wonderful children, and the doctor said he wouldn't have any. Wow. We start breaking this down. We start talking about what God has given to us. Whew. Amen? And then there's a range, and I kind of stuck them in four categories here, and I just did that to kind of, you know, there's natural things. God has blessed us with natural things. He's given us all things richly to enjoy. There's spiritual gifts. There's talents, the gifts of the Spirit. You know, for me, a pastor, he's called me to be a pastor. You know, and did you know that I am a gift to you? Amen. Amen. Well, and if you don't, I'm going to remind you often. a good gift. Amen. Just a good one. Thank you, Francis. and then people, three children. You know, but people, friends, I got friendships. I look back and I see Bob and Lisa. One time years ago, Bob was talking about FCA and he had pictures up here on the screen. And then a picture popped up and our four youngest children. And Breezy, you were probably about two or three, I think. Is that about right, Bob? And then their children all sitting on a couch lined up together. And that made what, nine of them? Eight or nine of them all lined up on a couch with towels wrapped around them because they, Bob and Lisa, were watching our children for a week and they had just all come out of the bathtub. They weren't all in there at the same time either. It was in shifts. You know, but when I saw that, I went, oh my gosh, my friendship with Bob and Lisa. How far back it goes. Whew. See, God has blessed us with so much. Amen. And my, you know, I said at the beginning, you know, I wanted to talk about steward the gift well. Take what he's given you and be a good steward. Steward that gift well. Steward that talent well. Steward those relationships. Steward that gift. And I just want to talk a little bit about how to steward the gift well, whatever it might be. And like I said, they can go in a lot of different ways. And one of the things today, I got this yesterday when I was praying, let the Holy Spirit talk to you. And he'll talk to you about specific gifts and how he would like you to steward them well. You know, because the subject matter could be so broad, gifts, that let the Holy Spirit talk to you, amen? Let him talk to you. And then just how to steward the gift well. Here's one. Be thankful for that gift. Be thankful for that gift. Turn and look at somebody and say, be thankful for that gift. Because you know what we have a tendency to do? What human beings can do if they're not careful? Pretty soon, they don't appreciate the gift like they once used to. Anybody in here ever got a new car? New pickup, new something? Teenager hand went up right away. Yeah! You know what? How many folks have ever gotten a new vehicle and then over time, when it became more familiar, didn't appreciate it as much? We have to purpose to be thankful for the gifts, for the friendships, for the relationships, for the children. How to steward that gift well? Number one, be thankful. Place value on it. Place value on it. How many of you think God gives you something, it's valuable? Place value on it. Be thankful and place value on it. Just. I mean, I don't know how many years ago was it? How long ago was that truck given to me, that pickup? We talking 4 or 5 years now? An individual called me up and said, hey, I got a friend who wants to remain anonymous, wants to give you a truck. I'm like, I already got a truck. I don't need another truck. I'm not destitute. I'm not broke. I'm not. And I said, da, da, da. Yeah. I said, will you please tell them that I got a truck and that I'm doing okay? I'm all right? I said, yeah, I'll let them know, because I wanted the person who was given it to have a real clear picture. So the person in the middle told the folks given the truck, and then the word got back to me. They don't care. You can do whatever you want. God just put it in their heart to give you the truck. You can sell it. You can give it away. You can drive it. You can do whatever you want with it. 4 or 5 years ago. I still appreciate that truck, and I've stewarded it well. I changed the oil. I keep it clean. I value it. Get good tires on it. Amen? Amen. How do we treat the things that we have? How do we treat the giftings and the callings? I got to go to Rhema for 2 years. It's been over 25 years. No, it's getting close to 30. Oh my gosh. 30 years ago. How can that be? I'm only 25. But I got to go to Rhema, and I got to sit in some of the best teaching in the world as far as I'm concerned for 2 years. And then God put a gift, a calling to be a pastor, on my life. How have I stewarded what I got at Bible school? What have I done with it? Have I treated it with the respect that it's due? And I tell you what, I was one of those guys when I was in class, I was sitting on the edge of my seat leaning forward for two reasons. One, I valued being there. Two, I knew that what you sow, you shall reap. And I was reaping attentive listeners. So now I have attentive listeners because I was reaping back then. Amen? steward the gift well. Be thankful. I'm so thankful for Rhema. I steward the relationship with my wife well. Mm-hmm. Treat her well. She's a gift. My children, they're gifts. Steward it well. Thank you and place high value on them. Be thankful and place high value. Take your Bible and turn with me to Matthew 25. Matthew chapter 25. We got a number of passages of Scripture we'll look at in Matthew. Matthew chapter 25. It seems just kind of a little too quiet in here to me. I don't know why. Ernie, you going to help me out here? Okay. Thank you. Got someone else that's going to help me out here? Hallelujah. Thank you. I'll take a few more. Amen. Praise God. I do. I like noise. I like noisy services. Most of the time, I like noisy children. Most of the time. Praise God. Amen. I like noisy people. I like noisy worship. I like noise. I like loud. Amen. Matthew chapter 25, verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, and to another 1. To each according to his own ability, and immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise, he who had received 2 talents gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid the Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. I just got to highlight that right there. How many of us in here would say the Lord has given us gifts and the Lord has given us talents? How many of you know there's a day coming when he is going to settle the account with us? Amen? How many of you want to value that talent, value that gift? I know I do, because I know this day is in my future. I know that the account is going to get settled. I know that that's going to happen. Well, I know what I want to hear. I know what I'm looking forward to. I bet you we're all on the same page. We're all looking forward to hearing, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Well, what decides whether we hear that or not? It's what we do with what's been given to us between now and then. Steward that gift well. Be thankful. Be thankful for the gift and place high value on it. Place high value on people. Place high value on the calling. Place high value on forgiveness. Place high value on healing. I watch God do amazing things for people, and then you can go years down the road, 2, 3, 4 years down the road, and you can't even see any resemblance in their life of the gift that he gave them, of the blessing that he put in their life, because they didn't place high value on it and they wandered away. Bummer. Amen? Bummer. Turn to look at somebody and say, "But that's not me. That's not us." One of the ways you do this, let me just throw this in there. It's not in my notes, but I thought about it a lot. How many in here have been forgiven? You've been forgiven of some pretty nasty stuff. My hand stays up. How do you steward that gift well? What's one way to steward that gift of forgiveness well? You want to know what it is? Forgive others. Forgive others. Forgive others. Forgive one another just as God in Christ has forgiven you. Amen. So to what degree can we forgive others? We can forgive others to the same degree that God in Christ has forgiven us. Well, to what degree has he forgiven us? He remembers it no more. He throws it as far as the east is from the west. He puts it in the sea of forgetfulness. Oh, praise God, guess what? So can you. And you ever hear anybody say this? You ever said it? Well, I'll forgive, but I won't forget. You ever hear anybody say that? I mean, you know, that's just bogus. You know what that is? That is their justification for hanging on to it. That's what that is. They're justifying, remember, they're justifying hanging, "I'll forgive, but I'll never forget." You know what? There's all kinds of things we can forget. Amen? We do it all the time. We do. We forget stuff all the time. You ever forget where your phone is? Do you ever do this in your house? "Hey, honey, call my phone." Why? Because you forgot where it was. Do you ever forget somebody's name? Yeah, we forget stuff all the time. How do you forget stuff? Stop paying attention to it. Just quit paying attention to it.
I forgot the kids at the babysitter one time.
Okay, so we can have some fun. So how much value were you placing on them? A lot when you realize it turned right around. I forgot Caleb at a funeral one time. Yeah, we took off and left, and I had to go back. Same thing. A lot when I remembered. But If we stop paying attention to some things, it's easy to let it go. Forgive one another. If you want to steward the gift of forgiveness well, forgive other people. Yeah, but you don't know what they did. It doesn't matter. God knows what they did. And he's got forgiveness for them, period. Amen. I like that, Dorothy. Get over it. Amen. All right. Okay, how to steward the gift well. Number two, just this point here. Be faithful with it, like we were talking about forgiveness. Be faithful in forgiving other people. I think we left off reading at verse 19. And after a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents beside them. I need to say something here. I've passed it up twice and it keeps coming up. Did you read back here where it says, let me find it, according to their ability? Remember reading that? According to their ability. God has not put more on you than you're capable of doing. He has not put. See, one of the things we do is we say, I can't. You ever done that? Anybody in here ever said, well, I can't. I can't. I can't. I'd like to know who said you can't. God has not given you more to do. He has not put more on you than you are capable of doing it. So take that excuse and get rid of it. Amen. Amen. Because what you want to do is you want to steward the gift well, and you can. And like I said, let God speak to your heart. You guys, I honestly could not read worth a hoot when I got born again. I mean, I'd try to read one verse of Scripture in a small Bible study, and I would stammer and stumble over words and be hyperventilating by the time I got to one verse of Scripture. It was that hard for me. And now God has me standing in front of people reading. I can't! The excuse wasn't going to work with him because he knew I could. He knew he hadn't asked me to do more than was possible. So it's possible. Turn and look at someone and say, it's possible. It's possible. Yes, I can. Yes, I can. Amen? He hadn't put more on you than you can do. Mm-mm. Mm-mm. He hadn't. He hadn't. Amen. All right. Verse 20. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents beside them. And he said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. You know what? It's right there in that verse. Did you see what Jesus said? You were faithful. You were faithful. You were faithful. Be faithful to what the Lord has given you to do. Don't worry about a ton of other stuff. Amen. Be faithful in what he has given you to do. Amen. And I like something here. I don't know if I'm getting ahead of my notes or not. Maybe I am, but I can come back. Hallelujah. Be faithful what he's called you to do. Be faithful with the gift that he has given to you. I have these up here for a reason. And in no way, shape, form, or fashion, Charity, Breezy, there's no complaint here about grandchildren in my house, okay? But Breezy knows full well that when my children were growing up, my wife knows full well when our children were growing up, that I got lots of illustrations from my children. Now I'm getting illustrations from my grandchildren. Thank you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. But be faithful what he has given you to do. Not what he's given someone else to do. Be faithful with what he's given you to do. But in watching my grandchildren, somebody want to help me? I'll just do it then. Like to say, I'm playing with this. This is a gift to me, and I'm playing with it. And Sawyer, I'm sorry, you're sitting on the front row. You're going to get to do it. But Sawyer sees me playing with this. And yet, Sawyer's got this. Sawyer's got that, but he sees me playing with this. And guess what Sawyer wants? And what do children do? No! Keep going. Come on. No! And you see this, amen? He wants mine. How many times do adults look and see the talent, the gift that somebody else has, and they want it? We do that, don't we? You know what? Thank you. Now guess what could happen? Wants my football. Yeah. You know? How many times we want to? You know what? I don't need to be faithful with Ernie's gifting, with Ernie's talent. I don't need to go over there and take it from him and do it. I just need to let him do it. Amen? Hallelujah. And don't try to make somebody else be faithful with your giftings. You don't do that. I get real frustrated. I love Chariots of Light. It is such a blessing. That ministry is such a blessing. And I have gone up to Sturgis, not near as much as Brian has, and not near as much as other chariots have. And been up there for full day, another day, part of a day over the years. Do you know how many people I have led to Jesus Christ at Sturgis during Chariots of Light out on the street? One. And there's other people, they lead 50, 60, 70 people to the Lord in a day. You know what? They're not gifted to be a pastor. It's okay that I go. But see, I understand that's not my gifting. So I'm going to be faithful to my gifting. I'm going to be faithful to what I'm called to do. And I have a verse of scripture. Go ahead and go with me real quick to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Keep a place here in Matthew Mark. Yeah. Keep a place here in Matthew Mark. Marked. Okay, 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Y'all doing okay? I got the air conditioner turned on as strong as it can be. And for those of you that are sitting next to a vent, you're probably chilly, tempted to close that vent. And the rest of us are going, please don't close that vent, because we're warm. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. For we dare not class ourselves or compare ourselves with those who commend themselves. But they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. You know what? It's just not wise to compare ourselves to other people in the body of Christ and measure ourselves by them. Two things can happen. One, we can get beat up. We can start putting ourselves down because we don't do what they do. The second one is we can get in pride because they don't do what we do. There's a verse of scripture, having then gifts differing according to the grace of God. We all have different gifts, amen. Value the gift you have and be faithful to that gift. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. Go back with me to that verse of scripture there in Matthew 25. I want to get to something. Hallelujah. Where do we leave off? About verse 21. We'll pick up at verse 22. Verse 22. He also, who had received two talents, came and said, Lord, you delivered to me two talents. Look, I have gained more talents beside. I find this interesting. What did these folks do? Let me read the next verse. And the Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. What did they do with the talents that they had? They gained. They didn't stay where they were. they increased, they advanced. Amen? Now, let's look at this last guy. We might quit with this. I said might. Verse 24, then he who had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I know that you are a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. Now, it doesn't fare well for this guy. But as I was looking at this, something just jumped off the page at me in verse 25. Let me ask you a question. What was it that caused this individual to bury his talent? Fear. Fear. And now I'd throw this out when it comes to Jesus, when it comes to God. How many people have thought God is just a God of wrath and a God of vengeance and just a God who's going to get even? Is that the way God is? And then with that thought, I was afraid. What was he afraid of? Maybe failure? How many times does being afraid of something cause us not to move forward? And is Jesus a hard, unfair Lord? No, he is not. Amen? If you see fear trying to come in when you're wanting to step out and use a talent, make note of that fear. Because what it's trying to get you to do is not use the talent. Not place the value on it. I'm not going to let fear have more place than the value of what God has given. I'm not going to let fear stop me from stewarding well the gift that he's given me. And sometimes you just got to stay in there. Sometimes you just got to stick with it. Because how many of you, like this morning during worship, everything didn't go just right. And we have no idea in the sound booth. We had conversation, no idea in the sound booth what happened back there. You know, I like that. But how many of you know sometimes you got to press past some things to keep worshiping God? You do. You have to press past some stuff. Ron's going, I didn't even notice. Yeah, there were no words for the first song. We just had a black screen. And we just had a black screen for the worship team's like, we couldn't tell. But those of us out here, we just got a black screen. Then when we get a picture, we also have what with it? Bulb. It's getting weak. Call the maintenance person. The problem is we have no idea. Well, yes, we do, Ernie. You're the maintenance. No, actually, the bulb has been changed, stuff like that. So it's done. But then we had to push past that. I tell you what. You value something? You have to push past. Do you know how many times I had to ask Diana to marry me before it actually happened? I asked her 3 times to marry me. And then it finally happened, praise God. But you know what happened between the second time and the third time? I got born again. And she rededicated her life to the Lord. And then God was able to put us back together. I'm so glad I stayed after it. Just stayed in there and being faithful and being faithful and being faithful and being faithful, even though stuff gets in the road, even though things go wrong, stay in there, stay in there, stay in there. Stick with what God told you to do. Yeah, but I'm not seeing any fruit. No. Be faithful. Be faithful. Be faithful. Be faithful. What was he afraid of? Does fear sneak in and stop you from being faithful? All right, I'm just going to talk through this last one. How many of you know Peter was faithful? See, and part of what I'm wanting to do here today is come up with our excuses and our reasons and our justifications for not being faithful or not placing the value on the gift that we should. And sometimes we can just look at ourselves and go, well, gosh, look at me, God. And you got people throughout the scriptures. Anybody ever read about Gideon? He couldn't. He was the weakest from the smallest clan. How about Moses? Gee, for somebody who couldn't, he sure did. God, I can't. I can't even talk. I can't even speak. And he kept insisting on that. And what's God do? All right, I had enough of it here. Here's your mouthpiece. He had to bring another guy in. You know what? I think Moses got past that. Moses got to where he could talk for himself. He could stand up and he could speak. But just we want to get past those things that stop us. And sometimes it's ourself. We look at ourselves, and I think about Peter. You're in Matthew. Just back up to chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14. Matthew 14. And for time's sake here, it's, you know, you can start reading at verse 22, and it's Jesus ends up walking on the water, and Peter looks at him and says, Lord, bid to me that I come to you. In verse 29, and he said, come. And when Peter came down out of the boat, he walked on the water to Jesus. Verse 30, but when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. There's that afraid again. And what does that afraid do to him? And he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. I love this about the Lord. What'd the Lord do? Stretched out his hand and saved him. Praise God. You know, you can be out walking by faith in an impossible situation, something come along, and you get full of fear and sink. And you can still say, Lord, save me. And you know what he'll do? He'll stretch out his hand and he'll save you. Praise God. We don't have to be afraid. We don't have to be afraid. That servant with the one talent, he was afraid. Well, I know that you're a hard man. Mm-mm. I don't have to be afraid of Jesus. I don't have to be afraid of God. Even when I blow it, even when I sink, even when I let fear and circumstances cause me to mess up, I can still cry out, Jesus, help. And guess what he'll do? Turn and look at some and say, yeah, he's helping me. Isn't this crazy? He helped Peter even when Peter's messing up. I don't know about you, but I'm getting excited. Yay, Jesus! You mean I can blow it and you're still going to be there for me? Yep. That's good news. That's good news. That's really good. You want to know why that is such good news? Because you're going to blow it. And he's still there for you. Praise God. So go ahead, step out and blow it, and he's still there for you. You know what's worse? Not stepping out at all. Go ahead and bury that talent. See how it goes. Not too good. Not too good. Amen? All right. Lord, save me. And immediately he said to him, that's verse 31, and immediately he stretched out his hand and he caught him, and he said to him, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? But he didn't give up on him, and didn't bail on him. He didn't run away from him. Now go with this, with me. Just go over to chapter 16 in Matthew. Right before this, Peter got this great revelation. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. He got that great revelation. And so here we are in verse 21. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples, Matthew 16, verse 21, from that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the leaders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again on the third day. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you. But he turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me. Wow. I mean, did Peter just mess up pretty good? It's kind of crazy. Jesus looks at him and says, "Get thee behind me, Satan." That's a pretty good mess up. If you got the Lord looking at you and say, get thee behind me, Satan, I don't want to hear that. And then he goes on to say, you're an offense to me. Jesus loves us and he'll tell us the truth. Ain't you glad? Amen. I'm glad he'll tell me the truth. I'm glad he didn't leave me where I was. I'm glad he won't leave me where I am. He will keep telling me the truth. Peter messed up pretty good here. And then you can go a little bit farther into Matthew chapter 26. I'll just make the reference there, but Matthew chapter 26, you know what Peter did there? Even though everybody else will deny you, I'll never deny you. Peter, before this night is over, before the rooster crows three times, you will have denied me. You will have denied. And then guess what Peter did? Denied him. Was God done with him? Nope. Go to Acts chapter 2. Get filled with the Holy Spirit. I just did in your mind's eye, go to Acts chapter 2. Get filled with the Holy Spirit. Peter stands up. What's he do? Preaches his first sermon after all of his mess ups. All of his blowings. Preaches his first sermon. Guess how many people got born again? Guess how many souls were added to the kingdom? 3,000. You ever messed up? Stay in there. Stay in there. Stick with it. Be faithful. Just stay in there. Get over into chapter 3 and chapter 4. Peter preaches his second sermon. You know how many people get born again? 5,000 men. So there were more than that, but they counted the 5,000 men. How do you think that's pretty good for Peter? Amen? And then Peter gets to the end of his life and in 2 Peter, and he's talking about just reminding people. You know what people did? What Peter did? He stayed faithful his whole life. And how many of you know he still had mess ups along the way? You can go to Galatians and read about some of his messing up there. Amen? Don't let you stop you from being faithful. Because even when we blow it, and we do, he is faithful to us. What's God given you? What gifts has he given you? What talents have he given you? Be thankful. Be thankful. Be thankful for your mate. Be thankful for your children. Be thankful for your parents. Be thankful. Turn and look at somebody and say, I'll be thankful. Just be thankful. Do you guys have any idea how important this is? I hope you do. Just being thankful. Just being thankful. Because do you know how often we're ready to complain? Do you know how? I mean, I tell you what, we can complain. We can get, you know what? I'm thankful for America. I'm thankful for America for 58 years that I've been alive. And in all the different presidents, Democrats and Republicans, I'm thankful for America. Amen. And I'm learning to quit complaining. Because guess if you complain, the more you complain, the less thankful you will be. The less you complain, the more thankful you will be. Well, I'm going to just be thankful. Praise God. I tell you, what was it? A pessimist can find the negative in any opportunity. Mm-hmm. That's what a pessimist is. They'll find the negative in any opportunity. I don't know. I just like to find the opportunities. I sometimes share with somebody an opportunity and they go, yeah, but. Oh, you know what I want to say? Oh, shut up. That's what I want to say. I don't always. Depends on how well I know them. But hey, come on now. Let's be positive here. Amen? Hallelujah. And I love this at the end of Peter's. He's getting close because the Lord let him know. The Lord showed him. I love how he phrased it. He said, my time to put off this tent is at hand. I think that's amazing. Peter got to the place in his life where this flesh to him was no more than a tent. He knew it was not permanent. He knew. I mean, he didn't even refer to his flesh as a house or as a structure. He referred to it as a tent. That's something you go camping in. I'm going to put this tent off. Boy, I think we could say spiritual things became far more real and far more valuable to Peter as he went along. Amen? So in spite of all his mistakes and all of his mess-ups and all of his foot and mouth, all of that stuff, he remained faithful. And I'm quite certain Peter heard, "Well done, good and faithful servant." I just had another thought. How many people would have looked at Peter and said, "Jesus, what the heck are you doing picking him?" What's my point in bringing that up? How many people might look at you and think, "God, you're going to work through them?" Yeah. Amen? Let's go ahead and stand up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. On Sunday mornings when I'm here in ministry, and I never like to end a service without giving people an opportunity to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And you know, I don't know everybody here. I don't know where everybody is at here. But I'd be amiss if I didn't. Don't answer this question.